This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we finish up, for the time being, in the Psalter with the rest of Psalm 106, do a quick swing into the New Testament with 3 John, and then back to Proverbs. Gather us, fellow workers for the truth, the righteous is delivered, a man of understanding remains silent, and the desire of the righteous. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But in you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God,
have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Of divine peace and of pardon, with all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
For the Holy Christian Church, here and scattered throughout the world, and for the proclamation of the gospel and the calling of all to faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
For this nation, for our cities and communities, and for the common welfare of us all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
For seasonable weather and for the fruitfulness of the earth, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
For those who labor, for those whose work is difficult or dangerous, and for all who travel, let us pray to the Lord. For the hungry and homeless, for the widowed and orphaned, and for all those in prison, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and dying, and for all those who care for them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Finally, for these and for all our needs of body and soul, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord God, you led your ancient people through the wilderness and brought them to the promised land. Guide the people of your church that following our Savior, we may walk through the wilderness of this world toward the glory of the world to come. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
A reading from Romans chapter 5. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, how much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many? And the free gift is not like the result of the one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. If, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to the condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. Matthew, the fourth chapter. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give you, if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. I believe in one God, Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us then, and for our salvation, came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. From the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended to heaven, and sits at the right hand.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We've all experienced it. You get an assignment turned back to you with a grade lower than you were expecting. Usually we just set it aside because there's other work to do, and on we go. But once in a while, maybe we step back and say, what could I have done better? And so we try to reassess the situation. I hardly think Satan gave a second thought after the temptation of Jesus that he put at Jesus and how utterly he failed in that attempt. But if he had paid just a little attention, he might have realized the tactics he was taking were not about to be successful. He should have been. This should have been the slam dunk. Just consider the conditions. Jesus has been in the wilderness 40 days, eating nothing. He's alone. Mark tells us that the wild beasts are with him. I don't think they're there to be friendly beasts, but probably hounding him throughout those 40 days. Into this setting, a temptation such as, Jesus, you're hungry, have some food, ought to have been easy. After all, 40 days earlier, had not the Father said of this son who was standing there in the Jordan River, this is my beloved son with whom I am pleased? Surely, this beloved son deserves better treatment than this. So, some food, Jesus, you can handle that. Whip up a few loaves of bread. And of course, how does he begin the temptation? If you are the Son of God. Hardly a ringing endorsement. Because what he in effect is saying, if, for the sake of argument, I concede that you might be the Son of God, well, of course you can take care of yourself, right, Jesus? Our Lord's reply is brief and to the point, but it tells us a lot. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's not just something he made up. It is written. Moses spoke these words to the Israelites, as after 40 years in the wilderness, they were about to enter the promised land, reminding them of all the testing that they had endured and how so often they had failed in those tests. Yet God continually provided and was utterly to be trusted to take care of his people. So just listen to the promise that God has made, Jesus says. At least I will listen, knowing that man does not live by bread alone. Satan should have already sensed that things were not going well, but he won't give up, will he? Jesus is saying more than that he can simply get along without food for an extended period of time. But rather, he points to a profound reality, and that is that he is the new Israel. God's chosen people, his Israel, was like a son to him, and yet a son that failed to trust fully and completely. Yet this son, this beloved son, the new Israel, will trust fully in God's promise and will rely completely on those promises that God has given. But the reality goes even deeper. He's not only the new Israel, he's the new Adam. There in the Garden of Eden, Satan had a more difficult task, it would have seemed. Here, Adam has everything at his disposal. He's hardly been fasting. Yet even in those ideal conditions, he fails the test. But not this new Adam, the Adam that Paul describes in our epistle. He will fully trust his Father and will not succumb to Satan's wiles. So Satan should have been aware of what he was up against, but he's nothing if not confident. And so, a second test, a different approach. If you are beloved Son of God, well then, surely the Father is going to take care of you, his Son, his only Son. So it's off to the temple, to the highest point. Throw yourself down. After all, your Father will care for you. And then he says, of all words, it is written, grabbing a page out of Jesus' playbook by quoting the scriptures. Psalm 91, he will give his angels charge of you to guard you, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Never mind the selective quotation, because the psalmist is certainly not inviting us to test God, but to rely on his care in all things, precisely in those places in life where he has placed us. Satan's temptation is for Jesus to step outside those boundaries and to test God. The response of our Lord, again, he goes back to Moses, "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test," as ancient Israel had done time and again throughout her wandering in the wilderness. So that's strike two. The appeal for Jesus to take care of himself didn't work. Neither does the test of the Father's willingness to protect and care for his Son. So now Satan is going to go all in. A third attempt, and no more Mr. Nice Guy. He won't concede this time that Jesus is the Son of God. That hasn't worked. He won't pretend to have Jesus' best interests at heart. That's not working either. And he's not going to use the scriptures again as well. Instead, it's off to a high mountain where he shows him all the kingdoms of the earth, all their glory, and then says with these beguiling words, "All these I will give you." That worked in the past with Israel. Think of the golden calf. Think of the time after they have arrived in the promised land, how often they will go after the gods of the Canaanites. Throughout their history, they're going after other gods, thinking that there they will find their joy, their gladness, and their pleasure. But what Satan couldn't understand yet again is that Jesus is the new Israel. In fact, the devil has it all backwards, because all these kingdoms and their glory belong to him. All authority in heaven and earth has been given him, as he will say to his disciples some years later. So be gone, Satan. For again it is written, "You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." And so here we're given a clear picture of this man, Jesus, who 40 days earlier had stood in the waters, and the Father had pronounced his pleasure in his Son, who now has endured weeks and weeks of fasting and struggle, only now to overcome Satan and all his temptations. The lessons for us. Well, indeed, this does teach us about how we must face temptation as well. Just a couple points to consider. First of all, the devil's temptations are not always to really clearly manifest sins like go and murder someone, go and rob this bank. More than often, the temptations come in a very subtle form, causing us to question whether or not God really is as good to us as he has promised to be. In other words, first commandment temptations. testing whether or not we will fear, love, and trust in God above everything else. Another lesson we can learn. Jesus, he could have, with a flip of a wrist, sent Satan reeling, flying away. But he chooses not to use his divine power to avoid temptation. Rather, he relies on the one thing needful, the very word of God. And that is how he will beat back every temptation of the evil one. And thirdly, he doesn't use that divine power for his own benefit either. He's the Lord who came not to be served, not to serve himself, but to serve you, to serve all mankind, to give his life as a ransom for many. This is the Lord who beats back Satan, the Lord who has promised that he will, by his grace and favor, aid and strengthen you in times of temptation. And he has provided for you the weapons with which to do that. Primarily and first and foremost, the very word of God, that sword of the Spirit, to which he turned and which he invites us to turn, as Satan will come after us. Likewise, the cleansing waters of holy baptism, the nourishing body and blood of his Son in the Holy Sacrament. By all these, he equips you so that you may stand firm as the devil tempts. And we do so in the confidence that he is the valiant one, the one who fights for us and will fight for us. In the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Let us call upon God our Father on behalf of the church and for all people, that we may receive life and salvation in Christ Jesus, our only defender and deliverer. Heavenly Father, you did not abandon your rebellious children, but promised and sent your Son, our Savior, to crush the ancient serpent's head. Renew your church throughout the world with zeal for the proclamation of this saving truth, that many may confess your holy name. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, your Son was tempted in every way as we are, yet was without sin. Protect us and all people from every temptation, that we may ever learn to trust you above all things. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, you are the strength and shield of your people. Send healing now, according to your gracious will, to all those in need, and surround them with your eternal comfort, peace, and salvation. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord, we give thanks for the blessings you daily shower upon your children. Lead us ever to rejoice in your goodness, even as you teach us to forsake the pleasures of this world and seek after the one thing needful, your Son and his salvation. Lord, in your mercy.
Eternal Father, make this season of Lent a holy time of repentance and renewal in your whole church, that our hearts may be fully fixed where true joys are to be found, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. At your command, Abraham prepared to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice on the mountain. Yet in mercy, you provided a ram as a substitute. We give you thanks that on Calvary, you spared not your only Son, but sent him to offer his life as a ransom for many. As we eat and drink his body and blood, grant us, like Abraham our father, to trust in your promise now fulfilled in Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Jesus.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Let us pray. O God the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.